Evening, everyone. I'd like to say hi to all our friends online as well. Now we're at chapter 3 of John. Probably the best known chapter in the whole Bible. Very important chapter. That thing working? It's plugged in. It's working? Okay. So we'll read just a couple of passages just for the background or the continuance of this character, Nicodemus, chapter 7. Chapter 7. Verse 46. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." So this is the second time that we read of Nicodemus, now in chapter 19. And verse 38, after the Lord Jesus had died on the cross, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So this is the last time that we read of Nicodemus, and now we're going to read about the first time in John chapter 3. And I agree with our brother Billy that the verse 23, 24, and 25 of chapter 2 really would fit better with this chapter than in chapter 2, actually. Actually, we'll read those verses as well. Now, when he was in Jerusalem, the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And the first word of chapter 3, actually in the English version here, is missing. If you look in the interlinear, it says "but." And I've checked about a bunch of translations, and at least six of them starts with what is actually in the original with the word "but." I know the French does, the French and English Darby does, and there's different others as well. So, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. So that's a contrast with the people at the end of chapter 2. A ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him? Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Enon, near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has testified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son hath everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The Lord will bless the reading of his word to us. So, like I said, the first word is actually but, and it's in contrast with all the ones that were there before, the people that believed, but they believed because of miracles.
and they didn't really were they didn't believe with the heart, if you will. They believed because of what they saw, and they were more interested in miracles than they were actually in the Lord Jesus. But this man is a different man. We see that he is a Pharisee. He is a ruler of the Jews, and later on we see that he is the teacher of Israel. So he is a Pharisee. That is the strictest religious sect of the Jews. I think they started not far after the Maccabees, and they were regarded by the people as the strictest sect, religious sect of the Jews. And also, he was a ruler of the Jews. So being a ruler of the Jews, that meant that he was a part of the Sanhedrin. So he was also one of those. And we see that in chapter 7, when the Sanhedrin was together to try to condemn the Lord. We know there that Nicodemus took the Lord's side and tried to get them to reason a little. So he was part of the Sanhedrin, and also he was the teacher of Israel. We see that in verse 10. So he wasn't just one of the teachers, he was regarded as the teacher of Israel. So the main guy. So he wasn't just anybody, he was a very important guy, a very important person amongst the Jews. He was well known, he was respected. And he was a very, very religious man. So here the Lord is going to have a discussion with this very religious man. In contrast with chapter 4, that he talks to a woman of the street almost, a woman that had five husbands, and she was living with a man that was not her husband. And he talks to her. But here is a very different type of guy, a religious man. Very religious person.
Your lapel is dead, apparently.
You think?
Yeah, it is. She just said it's a low battery.
Yeah, I'll take that off.
There. I have direct communication.
There, thank you. So, being a religious man, we see that the Lord doesn't waste any time. He comes to the Lord by night. I think there's a few different thoughts on that. Some say, well, he came by night because he was scared of the Jews. He was scared of his fellow Pharisees. But I think that's my thoughts anyway, that the reason why he came by night is because he was sincere and he really, really wanted to have answers. So if you want to have answers and you don't go in a big crowd and ask a question, because it's not going to work too good. So he came by night so that he could have a one-to-one discussion with the Lord Jesus and try to get answers. He didn't even get a chance to ask a question. The Lord right away kind of hit the nail on the head. So he tells the Lord that he knows, and the Lord is a young man. The Lord is like 30, maybe 30 years old, 31 years old. And this man is probably an older man. But he comes and he says, Rabbi. So he shows respect even to the younger man. He was himself a rabbi. He was the teacher of Israel. But he's telling the Lord, Rabbi, we know. So he was not the only one. There was others probably around him that realized that there's something going on with this man. And he was sincere in wanting to know more. So he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So he didn't recognize necessarily that the Lord was the Messiah, but he recognized that God is with this man. God is actually working through the Lord Jesus. So right away, the Lord Jesus answers, most assuredly, or truly, truly. Three times over, he says that in the chapter. Truly, truly. So that really shows the importance of what is being said. He didn't just say truly or verily in the King James. He says it twice. And that's in the original. It's truly, truly, or verily, verily. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this religious man that has a big baggage of religion, a Pharisee, they tell us that to be a Pharisee, you have to know the Pentateuch by heart. So this guy probably knew the Pentateuch by heart and maybe half of the Old Testament by heart. So he knew a lot about the law and he knew a lot about religion. But the Lord Jesus tells him that he has to be born again. Nicodemus is taken back. Nicodemus do not understand. And like a lot of people, I've had people talk to me like that. When you say that they have to be born again, well, am I going to go back at my mother and be born? They've told me the exact same answer that Nicodemus, the same question that Nicodemus had for the Lord Jesus. So he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So it's kind of a normal question because he's saying that he has to be born again. Nicodemus has no idea past the physical, past the natural birth. He kind of is stuck there and he doesn't understand how that can happen. So that is his first question after the Lord's first statement, and it's a good question. So the Lord answers, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the first time he says you cannot see the kingdom of God, now he says you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So without the new birth, without being born again, without having that birth of water and the Spirit, and you cannot see and you cannot enter. You cannot see could mean that you will not see with your eyes, or you cannot discern the kingdom of God. And then the second one is that you cannot enter. You will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Even you, Nicodemus, even you with your standing and with all your knowledge, you will not enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So it's not a natural birth, it's a spiritual birth. It's a birth from above. The spiritual birth that will come by the Spirit of God and by the water, which if you look in 1 Peter, that we were born through the washing of the water of the Word of God. So the Word of God is actually looked upon as water many, many places in Scripture. And here is that you have to be born through water and by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God uses the Word of God, and the Spirit of God actually is the means by which we can be born again. And then the Lord adds, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. See, I divided the chapter in three. That's my problem when I try to do this, is that my head is full and I don't know how to get the stuff out. Everything wants to go out at the same time. And it kind of mixes things up quite a bit. So that's my main prayer when I'm going to do that, is Lord, try to sort it out a little, so that it's not going to be all mumbo jumbo, you know, all mixed up. So My three divisions of the chapter is the three musts. You must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and He must increase, and I decrease. In our version, there's four musts. In the original, there's three musts, because the last one is He must increase and I decrease. This says He must increase and I must decrease. But that's fine, no problem. So that's the three divisions. The first one is Nicodemus, the religious man. The second one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And the third one is John the Baptist, the true witness. So basically, that's the three parts of the chapter. It's simple. It's simple to me. It's easy to understand. And that's the divisions I had. So this is the first must. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. It is not an option. It is an absolute necessity. Nobody will ever enter heaven without being born again. So this is the case with this man, and he was totally flabbergasted by the Lord's answer. And the Lord keeps going, and he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The first illustration that the Lord uses in the chapter. And he uses the wind to illustrate what happens when someone is born from above. When someone gets this spiritual birth. What happens? The Spirit of God goes in and does a work. A work that you cannot see, the actual Spirit of God. Just like the wind, you cannot see the wind. Nobody can see the wind. And most people don't have an idea where the wind is coming from and where it's going. Maybe the meteorologists, whatever, maybe they know a little bit more about where the wind is coming from or where it's going, but I have no idea. So we see the results of the wind. We see the work of the wind, especially in Pompeii. You can see that. A lot of wind on PEI compared to where we used to live in Quebec, like in the mountains. Not much wind there. But here, the wind is unbelievable. Sometimes you feel like the mini home is going to go up in the air. So the wind cannot be seen, but the effects of it can be seen. And it's the same thing with the Spirit of God. That's the illustration that the Lord used to make it very plain, is that when a man is born of the Spirit, you will see it with the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he thinks is going to change. His walk, his talk, his thinking, everything about him is new. We know the verse well in 2 Corinthians 5, if a man be born again, he is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And this is a work of God. It comes from God, it comes from the Spirit of God. So you don't see the Spirit, nobody has seen the Spirit of God, but we see the effects of the Spirit. And that's what happens when someone is saved, when someone is born again, his whole life changes because of the Spirit of God that lives within. So Nicodemus comes with another question. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, and so on. So how can these things be? A very, very good question. He wants to know. He came here to know and to get answers from the Lord. And he wants to know, how can these things be? And the Lord is going to explain very clearly how these things can be. How can you be born again? Because I remember the night I got saved. I didn't get saved with John chapter 3. It was John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 5. and Romans chapter 3. But he could have turned to John chapter 3. John 3:16 is the first verse I memorized. But I remember I wanted to know how I can be saved. He was telling me that I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And I wanted to know, how am I going to be able to escape? How am I going to be able to not go to hell? And he explained to me. And that's what Nicodemus here wants to know. He wants to know how to be born again. And the Lord will explain to him how to be born again. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Kind of humbling for Nicodemus, but he doesn't rebuke. He doesn't kind of get on the defensive. He just wants to know. He's a sincere man, and he wants to know. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. That's quite deep thoughts there. The Lord Jesus is saying that nobody never went to heaven, but there's one that came down from heaven. The Son of Man came down from heaven. And he didn't only come down from heaven, but he said the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he speaks of preexistence. He speaks of omnipresence. He speaks of deity. The Lord Jesus here is telling him, I am God. I am the one who came down from heaven and who actually is in heaven. And then he comes with the explanation of how these things can be. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So as much as it is a must for somebody to be born again, it was a must for the Lord Jesus to be lifted up. If anyone's going to be born again, there's got to be something that happens first. And that is for the Son of Man to be lifted up. Three times over, the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John speaks of the Son of Man be lifted up, or he must be lifted up. You see that in chapter 8, verse 28, and in chapter 12, verse 34 as well. And the Jews knew exactly what he was talking about when he was saying that the Son of Man must be lifted up. They knew he was talking about crucifixion. And then he explained to Nicodemus with a story that Nicodemus knew by heart, something that Nicodemus was very familiar with. And, you know, when you speak to the gospel to somebody, it is a good practice to try to be on their level and to try to bring something that they're familiar with, something that they can understand. Because Nicodemus, up to this point, could not understand anything about the new birth and how it would happen. But the Lord tells him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So that's the story from Numbers 21, verse 4 to 8, where the people of God had sinned against God. They had murmured against Moses. They had complained about the food. They had complained about manna, and they were fed up. And God sent fiery serpents, and many, many thousands died being bit by the serpent. And then they cried to God, like they always did, to try to have mercy on them and to save them from the serpents. And God told Moses, make yourself a fiery serpent out of brass. Put the serpent on a pole. and go in the middle of the camp and put up the serpent on the pole. And anybody who will look onto the serpent will be healed or will be saved. Isn't that a good, actually it's a type of the Lord Jesus. The brass could not be affected by anything unclean, but it could take fire. It speaks of the altar. It speaks of the Lord Jesus being sinless, being the sacrifice for sin, being made sin. You know, the serpent speaks of evil and sin. He was made sin for us. What a beautiful type and illustration to use to explain how can these things be. How can we be born again? By looking at the Lord Jesus on the cross. One look at the crucified one. One look at Calvary. A look of faith. And the person is saved. The person is born again. That's how these things be. And I mean, it's simple. It's clear. And then he goes on to say that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not just a kind of a temporary thing. It's eternal life. It's not a life that you can have one day and lose the next. It's not a life that you have to hold on to something to keep it. It's a life that God gives, and it's an eternal life. So anyone that thinks that you can be saved one day and lost the next, you've got a problem with this word, eternal life. Salvation does not depend on us at all. It never did and it never will. It depends on the one who was lifted up on the cross. That's what our salvation depends on. That's what it hinges on. Everything depends on him and what he has done on the cross. And God says, it's enough. God said, I'm satisfied with what the Lord Jesus has done. Anyone who will look upon him, anyone who will trust in him, anyone who will embrace him with all their hearts, have eternal life. So it is 10 after. Probably we should kind of think of closing. So I will just leave a few minutes for somebody who would like to add anything. I'm very welcome to any help at all. Very good. Very accurate.
Robert, you said you used the word happen. It's something that has to happen. In some evangelical circles, it's not something that has ever happened to individuals. When you become saved, it's something that has happened to you. It's an actual event. I think that's very important.
Yes, very important. It's an event that happened once in the lifetime.
Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm thinking of
For sure, he knew exactly what was going on when he did see the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. He probably came back to that night and knew exactly. It was the fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus had told him. But I believe we're going to see Nicodemus in heaven, absolutely. Because I think that the testimony of Scripture in the two other plays that we see about him makes it clear that he believed and probably got saved in chapter 3. Yeah, he had religion and he had good works, but he was still in Adam. As by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Nicodemus was in that realm and he had never changed from being in Adam, from being in Christ, which what happens when somebody is born again. Yeah.
He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And starting off, he just called him the normal name.
Like teacher, yeah.
Yep.